Okay, it is 6:02 p.m. on Tuesday, October 13, 2020. Let's stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Walsh.
Here.
Varga. Absent. Rapper.
Mm-hmm. Here.
Olarga. Sorry, I know Varga. So he is being strange.
So I think based on the governor's executive order, he actually counts as president. Presence. Because of electronic meetings, but.
Yeah.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I think you're fine.
Okay. Varga, present.
Tatic, present.
Perfect.
Here.
Carly.
Here.
Ramon.
Present.
Okay, friends, we have a minute from our last meeting on September 22nd. One change of note is, at least it's not substantial, but Jared Buckle is actually Jared Buckle. Besides that, were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, have a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion. All those in favor, give me the usual sign. Jenny, Jennifer, Dan, and Walt approve. It's out of staying. Next up is the alley vacate for St. Paul the Cross. ordinance 2020-11. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Dan. For the discussion. All those in favor, show me the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2020-11 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-11, vacation of public way.
So again, you'll remember this is the vacation of the alley for the Catholic Church. We had our public hearing last time, I think.
Yeah.
No questions about that. Nobody here to talk about that. So, any comments, questions, concerns about this? It's the second reading, right? The final reading, yeah. Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-11 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Jenny. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay, next up is ordinance number 2020-27. Do I have a motion to read by title only?
No, ma'am.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, seconded by Dan. For the discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2020-27 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-27, an ordinance to be known as the 2021 salary range benefit ordinance.
You remember where we left this last time was we had some tweaks that Rosie and I needed to do. We have been through the salary ordinance now. We think it's where it needs to be. We've adjusted some different things to make sure they kind of line up with one another. With that, is there any questions that Rosie or I can try to answer for you? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion? I guess here's the question. Would you like to take the three readings since we've changed it since the last one, or would you like to remain at two readings?
I'm okay with two.
I'm talking with two.
Two's fine.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-27 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Jennifer, seconded by Walt. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you for that. Next up is the 2021 budget approval. As you all know, we've been through the budget with you, and we've been through some of those pieces, obviously, in the meeting. I think it was the first meeting in September, I think, we had the public hearing on this. Obviously, no opposition to that from that perspective. you can see on, so there's really two pieces here. Rosie, do we need to approve the excess levy after the ordinance?
Yes.
Okay. So, do we have an ordinance number on this one?
Only on this budget, and it is...
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it is.
Is 2021-25. 2020-25?
2020.
Okay. Do I have a, so is this the second reading? This is the final. Thank you. Okay. Do I have a motion to read ordinance number 2020-25 by title only?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, second by Jennifer. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Please read ordinance number 2020-25 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-25, an ordinance for appropriations of tax rate and tax rates.
So again, this is our budget for 2021. As you all know, it's not, it's really not much change from the year before. You'll see in our next discussion, obviously you know this already, but as our assessed valuation continues to go up, our actual tax rate itself continues to go down. City-only tax rate, to be clear. But obviously I think we're doing the right thing for the right reasons, but putting money towards the different departments that we need to, and certainly welcome any questions, comments, or concerns about it.
Question, it could have just be in-house title, but we've got ordinance / resolution. This is true of ordinance, right?
Yeah.
Should we take resolution, or is that in material?
Just
take it out?
In material. It's just they're wanting you to either put a resolution or...
Or an ordinance.
Number, yeah.
That's why I'm just clarifying.
Which it does say on this one, ordinance, my original.
Okay. Other questions, comments? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance number 2020-25 on second and final reading?
So moved.
Second. By Jenny, second by Jenny, Jennifer. Sorry. I'm not going to do that. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor, submit a usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Okay, next up is something we have not done. I'm going to, I think Rosie and I maybe are going to tag team, although she's going to do the heavy lifting, I think. As we've talked about in the past, there is a process that the state of Indiana called the Excess Levy Appeal, which basically gives communities like ours that are continually growing above, effectively, the budget, the rate in which we're allowed to grow our budget. It gives us some ability to gain additional dollars for the budget by doing that. And so in front of you is our excess levy appeal petition. You do have to approve it as the city council, as a fiscal body. You can see that effectively we're looking to get basically an additional $70,000 into our general fund. And as you can kind of see, maybe four or five pages later, you can actually see what our actual rate has been over the last couple of years. Without beating a dead horse here, as I told you before, the way in which the state gives us the ability to grow our budget is they give a growth factor. And by that growth factor, we're allowed to raise our budget within that factor. The challenge is, let's say our assessed valuation has grown by 10%, which it has pretty consistently over the last couple of years, and our budget has only been able to grow by 4%, then that tells you there's a 6% difference in which we are not, even though our community is growing and maybe we need more public safety or maybe we need more parks or we need more street or whatever, we cannot capture that 6% effectively difference. So the excess levy appeal gives us the ability to effectively capture a portion of that and put that toward our budget. Keep in mind that because our tax rate also continues to go down, this really is more of a leveling off than it is an actual increase per se. I don't know a better way to describe that because, as you know, AV goes up, tax rate goes down. So if you add value, that tax rate still is not growing. It's still not growing because your AV continues to grow. Does that make sense? But I think you all generally understand that concept. So. So effectively, the state gives us this ability when, and I'm not sure if this was passed when the property tax cap was given or when, but the state gives us the ability to effectively try to capture some of that lost percentage between our AV growth and the actual budget growth we're allowed to have. That's what you see in front of you now. That's the additional $70,000 that would go for our budget. Rosie, what have I not covered?
Well, you did the heavy part. I'll get it over everything you said.
Again, we talked about this during our budget meetings. Because of, effectively, it's been at least 3 years where where our growth has outpaced by at least 4%, has outpaced our actual budget growth ability. So those 3 years, if you will, are gone, and we can't ever make that up, but this is one way we can at least try to keep at least some pace in the job factor. Question? Okay. Appreciate that. Either I bored you to death, or you guys are completely on board, and we're good to go. So, with that, I guess I will ask for approval. Can I have a motion to approve the excess levy appeal petition as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you for your support on that. We've had lots of conversations at the state level regarding how communities handle this difference, if you will, especially the growing communities. Some communities have almost an automatic appeal type scenario. We're small enough, we don't necessarily have that, so this is the process we go through, so thank you for that.
With this being a petition,
sure.
What would be an estimate of approval, non-approval?
That's really heavy lifting.
Meaning whether the state would approve it or not? Yeah. Well, I believe they probably will because all the facts are there.
I'm not questioning the questions and answers. I was just curious how long does it take to get approval?
It'll be when we have a budget.
Thank you, Council, for your support on that. Next up, our policy changes regarding bereavement and short-term disability. Beth, Amy, our HR director, is here to present.
Good evening.
Hello.
Good evening.
Should have bereavement leave in your packet and the short-term disability leave policy. So they kind of go together, and I will explain a little bit why. Also, the reason that we're bringing this tonight is during the past year, even last year, we did have some employees come to us, either myself or the mayor, and ask that we review this policy. So therefore, we did take some time. I did pull some other cities and counties to see where they were at and see kind of how our policies were in line with theirs or what we needed to add or change, that type of thing. So I did find, and you'll notice in red, I think it all came from red,
mm-hmm.
right? for number four. And at these codes, we found that 75% of the policies sold included that needed matching. And that's the aunts and uncles, that type of thing. For nieces, nephews, 50% that we sold included that matching. And cousins, 25%. So I went ahead and put that in there so that we didn't have that in our policy also. So if you take a look at number one, we did increase the days for basically the spouse child to 7 days. That was 5 days. And then down below, we've added some language in number one that if additional time is needed past that 7 day, we refer to the short-term disability policy. So if you take a look at that policy, on page two of that, there really is only one change, and you'll see F. It's under 5F, and that's as relief for covering due to a loss of family member. So they can take additional time. Now, on your agenda, you'll see it says FMLA at the end. Why that's referenced is because with our policy, you can take 3 days of the short-term disability without having FMLA start. On that fourth day, you want FMLA have to start. So somebody could possibly take an additional 3 days plus their 7 to get 10 days. So, and that's kind of what some of our employees were talking to us about. They were comparing a little bit to our paid parental policy. If you remember, we passed that a couple years ago. We pay for 10 days for the birth of a child. So if you lose a child, they were saying, why do we only get five? They were just making that comparison. So we did increase it to 7 with that short-term disability. You could add the 3 days. So there you go. You would have your 10 days if that was needed.
And
I agree with
something about that.
Okay. Okay.
If you look at it, if you have a baby, you get more time. When you lose a kid, you need it. Right, Rosie?
Okay.
5 days.
I don't know. Okay, it used to be 3, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and everybody's grief journey is different too, so it may even take more time. So therefore, again, if they have sick time, you can go ahead and have sick time. If you're referring to it, it was sick time. It is a short-term disability. You can have some. So, but yeah, so that's why that's in there, so that kids will need it.
Does it make any sense to make it non-consecutive? Because it says consecutive days of leave, but what if, like, they need 3 days this week and then there's time and they need 4 more days some other time?
Jennifer, I agree with you because I came back to work, but there was days I should have left.
Mm-hmm. We changed that specifically because of the fire department, because they work 24 to 48 and we work 24, so it could actually give them almost a month off.
Mm-hmm.
Compared
5 days?
Huh?
5 days.
Well, now it's up to, like, say 7 days, and they work 24, about 48, and 24. Mm-hmm. And we just, this happened, and because of what happened, we went and adjusted it, which is how we got infected. I mean, granted, there's a big issue about some things. For instance, Mike or me or whatever, something happens to your child or your parents, whatever. I mean, I'm sure that we can work through that without.
So there can be a little bit of flexibility there.
Yeah, and that's why we added that 3 days with the short-term disability. If they have the 7 days, but they certainly can take the additional 3, and then if there's something else beyond that, they can even get FMLA, like if it's like counseling or something like that.
LA can be square. But if you have to take somebody to a trials or something.
And I do think, correct me if I'm wrong, Rosie, but I think one of the kind of the concepts behind when this policy maybe even was created was to give the ability for the individual to, you know, obviously grieving is going to last, you know, obviously, but the scenario of the actual funeral and, you know, gathering the family and putting all those pieces in place. And now again, Is this policy completely all inclusive? And you know, I don't think the answer is yes, because I don't, as we talked about, everyone's grief is different, and so I mean, trying to adjust and tweak the policy to be better than it is. The other thing I think, one of the things that Beth has talked about on number four there, not just number four, but also number three. Is that with the changes in society that we're having right now, where we're seeing more grandparents and aunts and uncles raising their non-biological children, that we've tried to put in a piece there where effectively if individuals are acting on behalf of the parent, or as the parent, if you will. So whether someone was raised by a grandparent or an aunt or uncle rather than their parent, or however that works either way, that gets included in here to kind of reflect that change in society, as that you all know is obviously occurring. So that's another major change I would say in here that recognizes that shift where you have individuals that are being raised by people that are not their mother and or father.
I know you did a lot of homework and a lot of comparison. Was the fire department, was the question about consecutive days one of those questions of other places you interviewed?
No, it was mostly just what days they had and for what individual.
So
how many days for aunt, how many days for parent, how many days
for parent. Right. So we could, you know, we approve it, but you could always amend it if you find out more information in regards to the consecutive versus non-consecutive. From other locations, it always did not work that effort.
I don't know that it is at this time. I mean, I certainly can keep that in mind. That's something that you want to do.
I wonder.
We just have to be careful about, because the fire department is different in a good way. But, you know, with the hours and how it's structured, we just have to make sure.
Try to keep things as equal as possible. I mean, may not always be equal, but you better get close.
And so, but if that's something
that you can
really look at, I certainly
would
be more than happy to look into that.
So, that's a general question. I'll throw
it
up to
the
council for their thoughts.
But,
you know.
I worked with the attorney, and her and I is the one that came up with that because of the issue. That we had.
Sure.
I guess the other question I would have too, is it tied to the date of the death?
Usually it starts from the date of death.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of wonder if, you know, as people live further and further away.
Sure.
To
that point, yeah. I think I have a maybe a general understanding of where you're going with that. So if employee X has an aunt or an uncle that lives in Texas, and the funeral is next Friday, they get that Friday.
Yeah, and it will be under B4.
To the point. So it's not specifically tied up. Is that where you were going with that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I didn't want to, like,
Boy. Sure.
Yeah.
You get tomorrow off, even though the funeral is next week.
Yeah. Or at the end of the month. Or
right.
Whatever.
Right.
that kind of breaks it, not only with the fire department or anybody else. So there's legal things that you're going to have to take care of possibly down the, you know, week, two. I've never had that. Thank God I haven't had to experience that. But, you know, there's some times where, you know, you're going to have to meet with either an attorney or some, you know, try to get things legally put together. Can you use that as a bereavement? I mean, definition of bereavement means grieving to me, but is that in there where we can, that's why I talk about the consecutive days, you know, so that way we can have an opportunity to take care of the business. It's not like a free day off by any stretch, you know, for that person, but that's why I kind of wondered about the consecutive.
Right. I guess that's what I'm having a hard time with is the consecutive, because a lot of times you have things to deal with that are weeks later or whatever. And yeah, you might take off 5 consecutive days if you had to, but you're not necessarily doing anything those days.
Although I have seen where we have been here long enough to see how some of that was taken advantage of also.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they have,
That's why I was a little wary bringing it up, because I did see where it was taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. Couple times.
Could we put in there, like, for people that work 24-hour shifts, like, a different stipulation? Because, like, I understand where they're coming from, and I know that the fire department has their own hours itself, so I completely understand where you don't want them to take an entire month off. But on the same sense, like, everyone grieves differently. Like, me, I'm usually the one person that will want to work as much as I possibly can, but until I have to deal with something, and then I would have to take a personal day off or something like that, where other people need those 5 days by themselves to collect their thoughts and figure it out. We all process things differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess where we can go ahead and take a look at that, but I try to look at it two different ways, I guess. You've got that this part, number one, these people are that for a funeral, getting ready for the funeral and things like that. Then you've got that short-term disability that you could add in there that
right.
you can use. So you would like to maybe have it look at it a little bit differently.
A lot of people don't even like to use short-term disability or FMLA if they don't have to. Like, that's kind of a last resort, especially because most short-term disabilities and FMLA, like, have a consequence based on their pay, along with they can only have so much FMLA throughout different calendar years. I mean, there's lots of stipulations there. So, I mean...
Right, we're not at FMLA yet.
Right.
We have those 3 days.
Right.
We have 9 or 10. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that situation we have a horrible situation of the twins. One passed away, and 3 days later, another one passed away. And then we had a situation, you know, the way I read it, that we had to go with all those consecutive days off, so not consecutive, but days off. It's pretty painful. You know, so, I mean, like I say, that's a horrible situation, but, you know, how do we address something like that? That was while back, but
yeah. Well, I think this is very, very good, what we're doing. And based off of, and Mike and my experience, I mean, I understand you may need time off later, but this is for a funeral and taking care of your business at the time of a funeral. If you need time off a month later, that's when they need to use your personal. This is mainly covering the bereavement when someone has.
Tom has been patiently waiting to speak.
That's okay. No, you're good. I want to alleviate some concerns on this. The way it's worded, I think it is appropriately worded, would allow my guy at max to use, a 24-hour guy, to use at max 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Because they work every third day. So it really puts it about into the same category as the same amount of time off as any other employee. And it enables them, like Rosie said, it wouldn't necessarily have to be personal time, the way that the policy now, this policy is written, they could use sick time in lieu of, well, and here it's referred as short-term disability, but we all call it sick time. And for additional days off if needed, because you need a mental health day to quote the mayor. So I guess I agree with your concern in the manner that you maybe looking out for maybe my guy, but I think that is an appropriate amount of time. And it's more than what we've got.
Again, I think I still come back to at the end of the day, and you know, again, council, this is your decision. I still come back to that. I think what we're trying to do here, obviously, we're trying to make it better than what it was. I agree completely that there's going to be everyone's going to be grieving differently, and there's going to be people who are going to want to get out of the house and get working and do things to fill that time rather than just sitting around. And there's going to be other people that just need that time to be alone, to go somewhere, to be alone, whatever. You know, unfortunately, I'm just not sure that we're able to craft a policy that's going to be able to meet that without it being, standpoint, being taken advantage of in some way, shape, or form. Now, again, I don't think in the first two or maybe even three categories you're going to see people taking advantage of that. I think it's possible maybe in three and four for long lost people that we've talked to and things like that. But again, you don't craft a policy for the exceptions, you craft a policy for the general consensus. And I think that's why we landed where we landed, especially after past precedent as well. But again, council, it's your decision. I do think it's definitely a step in the right direction for sure.
Well, I like the non-consecutive timeline, and that's my personal opinion, because there's a lot of factors around it that helps broaden the situation for each individual. And so at this point, that's what I would like to see.
I agree with Walt. I'd rather see non-consecutive.
Would that do anything from...
So if somebody took tomorrow and Thursday off for a funeral, and then 3 months down the road they needed time off because of this, you want us to include that as part of the agreement?
Well, I don't know if we have all the answers tonight, but I'm just saying maybe it's something that could be talked about.
Maybe it needs to be like they have some sort of proof of that or whatever.
My opinion, no, I think it needs to be consecutive because of issues we've had, and we're being very grateful here, and they've got other time they can take. If it's 2 months down the road and they need a day off to meet with an attorney, they've got personal time. They've got sick time or vacation time. I mean, you could make this thing huge. I just think we're going up overboard with taking back out the consecutive because we put it in because of issues.
Honestly, two or three months is out of line. But I mean, I didn't take my 5 days. I came back to work. I lost one day, and I came back and I should have went home one day, and I couldn't even use that day. I'm saying within the first 2 weeks after this happens, it doesn't hurt. Because...
Or maybe a month. I mean,
I had to get moving, but I wasn't right.
I wonder, this is just me thinking out loud here, is there any value or any ability for us to separate this into... non-public safety and public safety, because we have two separate books, right? So I almost wonder, is there a way in which we can separate that? Again, I think that the tightrope that we're going to have to walk is the scenario where you want to make sure that it's being equally applied and that you're being fair to everybody, but at the same time, you have effectively three different work schedules that you're dealing with in our organization. You have, you know, utilities and civil city, effectively, not including public safety, that are working their normal 5-day, 8-hour shift. Then you have police and dispatch that have three different shifts during the day at 8 hours apiece, and those are what, 5 on, 2 off, 5 on, 3 off, something like that?
5 on, 2 on, 5 on, 3 off.
Okay. So
take 5 days here, top 10 days.
Sure. So my point is, though, so that's the second type of shift we're dealing with, and then we also have the fire department shift that works 24 hours every 3 days. So you're working with three different scenarios that are moving at the same time, and so that's why I guess I'm saying is trying to walk a tightrope on there, trying to figure out how to make it fair to each of those different groups. And again, I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying in regards to how that lines up and how people grieve and that ability to try to give the appropriate amount of days during a certain period of time, whatever that is. I guess I'm just saying on behalf of maybe at least for Beth's point is trying to figure out a way to do all three of those schedules at the same time. If I had three hands, I'd be doing another hand on here, but I only have two. So thank you. But trying to get those lined up and try to figure out how we do that in a fair way with all three of those is what the challenge is, I think.
Unfortunately, they are different.
Absolutely.
And maybe there needs to be a separate policy for fire, separate policy for, I mean, that creates a nightmare for you, I know. But it's really difficult to be fair for everybody, but yet that their situation is so different that, you know, if we could come up, I don't know, I'm just throwing that out there, because I don't know how you do that. I mean, to be fair to both fire and police, if you think, oh, how do you do that with everybody?
Would it help if you identify if I'm in charge of the estate or I'm the executor, that only then I would qualify for this non-consecutive thing, because at that stage you don't know when the attorney's going to be available, you don't know how long it takes papers, but it's a slow process. And I'm just thinking, okay, maybe that's the only person that was qualified to be exposed to that non-consecutive days based, because I am the executor of the estate and I will have a deed to be gone, and I understand they have personal days. I mean, I think this is great discussion, because this is something that we really...
Well, the other thing is, I mean, you got to keep track. Okay, well, let's say they took 2 days, now 3 weeks down the road, oh wait, they're going to take another day, but that goes back to the funeral day. So what we got to keep track of it also through payroll. So, okay, they get 10 days, but they're going to take 2 this day, 2 weeks from now, and 2 3 weeks from now. I just think you guys are going, in my opinion, way overboard. This is for bereavement during a funeral and taking care of the funeral arrangements. They need to be an executor of an estate, and 2 months down the road, take a day off, they need to take their personal time. This is for bereavement. That's my opinion.
If we take a look at that scenario that we're talking about here, I'm just trying to think through this, because I talked with Sally, too, so she takes care of the payroll, and ran this through her also, just to make sure. I also look through all the timesheets every week, and I noticed the last time we had people taking funeral time off that did not have any attachment to their timesheet of who it was or whatever. So there comes the issue that Lily's kind of talking about. We're going to have to be tracking down people when they're not putting it with the timesheet, and they're supposed to, and I put that in there too, because they're going to have proof. So in that scenario, are you kind of looking at, okay, if they need to take 3 days?
I don't think it's a bad thing to have them fill out some kind of form or something explaining, like, what.
And, I mean, according to this, you have a procedure, like, the procedure of right. Rebecca's thing, you have to have mm-hmm. proof.
Exactly. So each time that we split up, they're going to have proof from, like, the attorney, or is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
I'll throw it out there. The proof is typically given, like, I just had a guy take off the other day for his mother, or for his wife's aunt. But he showed me on the computer, and I went, okay, we'll see you later. Nowhere in this policy, even the old policy, does it say that they have to have a hard copy to bring to me that's attached to a timesheet.
Shows you what?
On the internet, it is white ink.
Well, no, now, we're just, this is new.
Well, you're talking about abuse, though. I guess, I'm wondering, is that the abuse you're talking about? Because I may be allowing that, because they show me the test, and I know that it is white ink, so I just, okay, is not abuse.
B2 says a copy of the family member's obituary or other proof of death must be submitted to the supervisor or department head along with Form CP.
Right, but does it say hard copy of it?
It's
a
virtual
copy of it. If they show it to me on the internet, that's a copy of it.
Then it should be printed off and put with it.
Yeah, and I'll bring that up with the department head meeting and just reiterate that we need to have that.
Yeah. I don't know where we're at.
Oh, I don't know where we're at. Flip topics. Now that I have a son-in-law, daughter-in-law, I don't see where that's in there. It's the one day. Unless I missed it. If you want to go with number four, if you have a son-in-law, daughter-in-law, like that.
I don't think
I have it. It's right.
We don't have that in there.
No.
An in-law. That's considered a son or daughter.
I mean, I guess
I could stretch this thing out forever.
I would include that under number one because in-law means literally in-law, right? So if they're my son-in-law or my daughter-in-law, then they're my son. I guess I should just say that's how I look at it. If we need to clarify that policy,
I would think that we would want to put it in. I mean, I think it doesn't make sense for us to, because I feel like we're saying this a little bit here. Well, this is what we're going to have on paper, but we would make an exception to that. Like, we should just decide what it's going to be, and if that's something that should be in there, then it should be in there.
I mean, I think there's a son-in-law, a daughter-in-law, there's a son-in-law in that regard.
Did you call the phone, please?
I got it.
I was very old.
So, what do you want of Beth and Rosie and me and whoever else?
Honestly, I think you've done a great job putting this thing together and, the added things, we said, I can see where Mike's coming from also, his situation. And I forget any of us have to go through anything like that, but I can see where he's coming from also on his, and the possibility is, the separation. I don't know how you can be fair with the way their hours work. I'm not trying to create a... We're at a lot more work trying to figure that out, but I don't know how you can do that with fire employees. Has it been working sufficiently the way we have it? Can we just add a few more days, Tom? Or Scott? Is this beneficial for your departments as well, or does it add more confusion for you guys?
I will tell you, watching some of my coworkers go through what they've been through, I think we gave 2 weeks. It was a real kick in the hind end when we gave 2 weeks of time for celebration of a child and very little upon the death of one. And I think that's what spurred this conversation. So watching some of my coworkers go through what they went through, and what they're still going through, I think it's a real discussion needs to be had of and whether it benefits my department or not, the individuals that go through such a traumatic experience need to be dealt with accordingly.
At least the middle
column. Yes. I'm not being, I, I, yeah, I, think their mental health, they need to get their crap together and have the time to get their crap together so they can do an effective job for our city.
Clearly, it's tough. So, you know, you look at some places and they don't get anything, but, you know, and you got to weigh physical responsibility and care for your employees. But the suffering is obviously a discussion that you probably have to solve and we need. So.
Would it help if, with the non consecutive, would you put in language about usher as an executor of the United States?
I don't think you should do that. No. Better than choosing.
Yeah, I understand where Walt was coming from, but I also think that I kind of like what Jennifer said was, you know, if you are going to give a consecutive or non-consecutive day, you know, 2 weeks or, you know, within that 2 weeks, you might, you know, because depending on what kind of stuff. That way it doesn't linger on forever. Like you said, well, it was a month, oh, now I got to take, you know, we're selling the house now, or we're doing whatever. You're right, I think that should be personal time, you know, but I can also see where things that happened in the first 2 weeks, you know, when my dad passed away, it was like, oh my gosh, I got to do this, you know, the following Monday, well, I already had my time, you know.
So is it possible once that is concluded that, you know, if more time is needed and it's not written as such here, would that fall back into the mayor and human resources and Rosie to make an exception, or at least you guys could have the ability to adjust on the spot so you don't have to have 10 more people around you trying to make that decision.
But then it would just go to short-term disability.
Well, that would be the thing. What I would do is I would sit down with that employee then and just talk out, you know, what do you have left, first of all, when I have time, and then at short-term disability, you know, they can take up to 3 days at one time. And so if they need more and they have time, I would, you know, just work that out.
This is another one of the scenarios where I think it needs to be really stressed upon our new employees to save your sick time.
And I do.
I know you do. The reason being is because it's worse. That's when they refer to this as a short-term disability. They can utilize that 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, 3 months later. If they need to have a day to say, you know what, it bothers me. And I think we would all understand that. I think that don't get too caught up on the consecutive time because it's a 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, 3 months later that they're going to need some of those days to go, I got to get away. And I think that the way this is wrapped is actually very well because it helps us, the department heads manage that initial, this is the time lock. But it also gives the employee the ability to flex a little bit of that, because before we couldn't use a short-term disability to take a day off because a death bothered us or something is going on in our life. This really starts breaking that hinge off the door to be able to use a short-term disability day for something that we all know is important. And it encourages the employees to save those days for those occurrences.
Yeah. I mean, the flexibility and the short-term disability just, you know, if you have that ability to go, hey, I'm having a bad day, you know, that they can use that and they keep the whole Pandora's boxes with the Rosie thing about, like, hey, we're going to spread 7 days over a year. Because it's separating the traditional short-term disability follow this policy. If that's allowed to be approved by the department head or by the mayor or whoever, you know, I find that's reasonable.
So if I hear what you guys are saying, we circle back around to say consecutive, period. And then if it needs to be adjusted, there's other policies or other options. Or sometimes people say, you know, I just need the time off. I don't care if I get paid or not. Right, excused, non-pay. So, I mean, we have multiple categories for them to do other options. And again, I don't want to discourage anybody from thinking that we don't like what we read. We do. But sometimes we put ourselves in that driver's seat trying to see, is how is that going to impact me or how is it going to impact my employees? And I think as long as everybody's saying the same thing, sending the same message, I think we're going to have issues that, you know, we can work through. I know I'm kind of backpedaling here a little bit. I do like consecutive, but I don't think that from a business standpoint, maybe it's not the best solution in regards to be manageable. Somebody's got to manage it. You know, and then we get the timesheets, and again, it takes three people to do that, okay, from HR to Sally and the scheduling. So maybe that's where we're at. We'll just write back what was the initial proposal and then address it. And then if we find something that we need to address after the fact because we didn't think of that scenario tonight, we can always amend. All right.
Well, when they call up and say, hey, my grandmother died or my sister-in-law or whatever, can you tell me how many days I get? We can tell them. That's how many you get. And so that's when they start their time off. And when you change that, and I don't want to throw this back, but with Mike and me and two other people that have lost child, it's not going to be 2 months, 3 months. It's going to be years. 10 years, and you can't stop that and just say, okay, well, I'm going to take the year to get there. It's the consecutive, I think, is the way to go, and she's got it set up. They've got plenty of other time that they can use.
If it would please the council, I mean, I think we certainly could put a provision in there that, you know, upon approval by the HR director and the mayor, you know, that dates can be spread out and we only do those in certain circumstances. That at least gives that flexibility in that. And obviously, you know, it wouldn't be the standard practice, but it would at least give some flexibility in regards to that and hopefully would address maybe some of the issues that you all are.
Rosie, is that something that could be flexible?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's in certain circumstances, tragic things that happen, we are so willing to work with people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And
I mean, if there's some assurance that there can be some flexibility, I think that's what I would like to see, having dealt with something along this line somewhat recently. If my employer hadn't been flexible, I'd have used up, you know, whatever, 7 or 9 days in a row, and I wouldn't have dealt with anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure. I can't be the only person with that happen.
Sure, absolutely. I don't disagree with what you're saying.
Well, Mayor, I like the Mayor's suggestion of giving him the executive authorization with HR. Mm-hmm. So there's two people involved.
Yeah.
And again, Rosie, I'm not sure where you line up with that.
Well, I mean, if they're doing the forms, it all comes to us three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So on that note, if the council would like, I think what maybe we can do then is go from here, and I can have that add some language that we can bring up at the next meeting. I won't be here at the next meeting, but welcome bring up at the next meeting and for your approval, and then I think we'd probably try to address at least the bad ability to get those done.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds good?
Yep.
Jenny, you good down there? Chad, you good? Okay. Okay, so that's what we'll do. Work on that and then bring it in front of the council and the next meeting.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, the in-law. The son or daughter-in-law. So, I guess the question that I would pose is, for 5.1, do you want to go ahead and approve that tonight, the short-term disability leave, which includes the 5F are free for recovery due to loss of a family member. Do you want to approve that tonight, or would you rather wait for 2 weeks and do that altogether? I don't know. I don't see. I mean, they're together, but they don't necessarily hinge on the changes that you're
making. I don't think there's a problem with approving what we have here and making the changes for the next go round.
For the short-term disability leave, or for both policies?
For bereavement leave. We could approve short-term disability today.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So with that being said, do I have a motion to approve policy 5.1, the short-term disability leave?
So moved. Second.
Motion by Kenny, second by Jennifer. Further discussion? All those in favor, sit with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. So we'll bring policy 5.8 to the next meeting. Do you think Beth needs to come to the next meeting?
I think so.
You remember Chip, don't you? If you don't mind, I would like to hear Kasia was other questions. So.
Okay. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you.
Good following discussion.
Wait.
Okay, so I'm going to ask the council to table ordinance 2020-28. This is regarding what we talked about last time regarding Spencer Street. I have sent a letter out per Walt's request and your all's approval to the neighborhood. I think specifically those on Spencer Street, since that's who the directly impact. And it has told them that we will be talking about this at the first meeting of November. So I'm going to ask that that be tabled till next November, to the first meeting in November. You all good with that? I see head shaking.
Yep.
Okay. Head, thumbs up. Good. Okay. So we will table ordinance 2020-28 to the first meeting in November. Thank you, Rosie. Next up is ordinance 2020-29, an amendment to the fire prevention code. I have a motion to read by title only.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, seconded by Walt. Further discussion? All those in favor, show by the equal sign. It is unanimous. Please read. Ordinance 2020-29 by title only.
Ordinance 2020-29. An ordinance amending Chapter 95. Fire Prevention Code of Title 9 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Columbia City, Indiana.
Could that be, mine says Chapter 94.
Yeah, mine says Chapter 94.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what'd that say?
I don't know. What did she say?
95.
Okay.
Oh, 94.
Sorry, Marcia.
Just one word has changed. The second word went from building to business.
Yes.
I'm not looking at it, so I couldn't.
You want
an explanation?
That probably would be helpful for the council.
The way we had it set before was that a building only required one knot box. The problem is you get into like strip malls, a building is a very long lease. So each business needs their own knot box.
And a knock box is?
A knock box is a heat entry system. Each one of our main apparatus in the bays and one of our support vehicles have an electronic box in them. They have, it's basically the rocket vaulter, whatever it is, what it's for them. You have to be issued a number that you put into that knock box, and then an identifying factor into the knock box to be able to remove the key out of a knock box to go open up a key to on the wall of a business, and that gives you access to all of their keys inside your business.
To sum that up, it is a key holder on the business that the fire department can get into in case of emergency.
Correct.
In the old days, that was called an axe.
Yeah, when it's an alarm, they don't like their thousands of dollars being.
I was sitting here thinking, why would you open the door first? Go for it.
and the reason, the importance of that is either you do use the axe or you wait for a key holder to show up, which is what we had to do a month or so ago. It was a 45-minute wait for a key holder. But a lot can happen in that 45 minutes. So you got guys trying to make a decision. Do I break this door or do I potentially wait for something to show that I make sure it's probably took care of 15 minutes ago? So with that, these things are a very important part of the fire service. They become a very important part of the fire service. And I think we need to support that with the fact that every business needs to have their own, not just every building. This particular case, there was three businesses in one building.
With one nonprofit. And so one business was able to get into rather than all three. What is generally the cost of a nonprofit?
About three. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. It's about three.
Double hundred. Yeah.
Got two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And broad team. Not that one. Questions about ordinance 2020-29 or comments? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve ordinance 2020-29 on first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dan, or elected second by Jennifer. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor, say with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Okay, so the next thing on your agenda is resolution 2020-30. I think we are also going to table this until the first meeting in November. At that meeting, we will have a proposal for effectively hazard pay or something for public safety, which we'll talk about at that point. So. We're going to save resolution 2020 until that point. However, we will transition to CARES Act discussion from Tom.
So what we have before you is at the bottom of the very last page of the stuff that was given to you is the total cost of replacing air packs for the fire department, something that I guess I'll just get into the history while we're at with this. Our current packs are approximately 20 years old or older. Some of them are way older than that. We're limping them along. The last test that we did of them, we took four packs, robbed some parts off of them to put on other packs, and we get them to pass NFPA inspection. With that, there are fill features on them that are non-functional on at least a quarter to a half of them. Such as the heads-up display that tells the guys how much air is in their pack. There's four lights that are at the bottom by the face piece, or by the regulator on the face piece. About a quarter to half of those don't even work. We have pulled about every ounce of juice out of these things we possibly can, and they desperately need replaced. The new pack that we're looking at, do upgrade it from a 2,216-pound pack to a 5,500 pack, which is about a 45-minute pack versus the half-an-hour pack that we currently have. Lots of upgrades. Don't know how much detail you want me to go into because I can really get into that. But the $270,000 would purchase all of that. That's in next year's budget already. The $90,000 that would be taken out of the CARES Act. We need the council to approve to be able to use CARES Act money to offset that $278,000 by the $90,000 that we're hoping to use the CARES Act money for, which would take it down to about $188,000 that we'd pay out of next year's tax revenue. $90,000 from the CARES Act would be equal to $278,430. Along with that, I would also like to add that we my personal preference is if we're going to do this, is to go ahead and make order the whole amount, the 278,430, so that we don't end up with two different models of air packs when we get them all together. So for about 6 months lead time, if we order them now until we receive them, and that's when the bill would come due, would be about 6 months from now. So I guess my question to the council, number one, can we use the $90,000 from the CARES Act to offset the 278,430, and can we go ahead and order the entire amount of 278,430 now, knowing it's going to be 6 months lead time to get it?
So with the CARES Act, doesn't it have to all be processed by December 31st, so we'd have to do the two separate invoices?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which, I mean, I'm fine with that, because we have to do it anyways next year, so it's just saving ourselves $9,000 next year.
Yeah, but as you know, with all the CARES Act funding, we always come to you for approval ahead of time. So Board of Works has approved him to move forward with the pending your approval, so.
Sounds fine.
So, I'm sorry.
Sounds fine.
Okay. Have a motion to approve $89,545.75 from CARES Act for air packs.
Second.
Motion by Jane, seconded by Jennifer. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you for that. We'll get rolling on that.
Is that our last purchase for the CARES Act?
It is not. No, we have a couple more. I'm working on a couple of things right now. We have two or three projects that you've approved that have not been submitted yet. Sierra Wireless and Judicial Sharing has not been submitted yet. Sierra Wireless, well, Scott will give you an update on that. I think we have at least one of the sets of doors that has not been submitted yet. And I'm also working on another one. And I think there's a couple of things. So, yes, we're still working to get all that sent by December 31st. Now that we've got, and by the way, we've gotten a little bit of leeway. I also talked about first meeting in November. We'll talk about some hazard pay stuff that will also come out of there. So, a couple other things that we're still working through on that. So, so that's where we're at currently. Okay. Beth, you want to report? Gary, can you report to the council on activities or anything?
Activities? I've been working on the bereavement policy.
Yeah.
That's my report.
Okay. Yep.
I have nothing, but I will get you a report sometime soon.
Scott?
Sierra Wireless, we have two installed in all, 25-day program, and all can be connected and tested, and the tunes are installed. It's critical that they work with our mapping, so generally, on the current day, we go out to top tier and install the phones. Judicial sharing, they're talking about project that's out there, and then judicial sharing is a command central that ties building, everything in the building, and looking to the prosecutor's office. They've assigned the project manager and was just waiting on his schedule of deployment. So they finally assigned a project manager. And so we'll just wait on his schedule, worker schedule, to tell us when they're going to come deploy it.
And they recognize the constraints were under timeline.
Interviews, they had formal interviews
question to discuss? Thank you. Mike?
In the last week, we've been changing quite a few meters, but they weren't reading, and also some of the bigger meters we've been putting new boxes on.
Question to Mike. Sean?
A lot of routine maintenance, work orders, new services, the same. We also downsized the service size for the post and mail. As a lot of people know, they have moved all production, all printing out of that building, and the building was sized for that type of production. So their minimum bill was fairly high. I worked with them to downsize the size of that service at their expense to kind of save them on the minimum billing on that, which we're hoping keeps these companies that are doing similar strategies in Columbia City. Hopefully, you know, it's going well for them so far. We've helped a few others out like that as well during this COVID period where production is down. You know, we were on it real early that we need to help some of these companies out with some of that. We reached out to try to help them with the minimums while not hurting what we're doing. Also, earlier this evening, the Board of Works approved our new Digger Garrett truck. We're replacing a 1999 Digger Garrett that we kept in service, and as of 2 years ago, was still our lineman's favorite truck. So, kudos to our mechanics and our operators for keeping it going for 22 years of service. There's a 12-month lead time on those trucks, so we will not be invoiced or in the truck for another year, but that's shorter than the other two bids where expected lead time. Also, you know, we moved forward with the AMI project a while back, and I just wanted to occasionally give a shout out to you guys for my support on there, for your support on that. Sitting here during the Board of Works meeting at the very end, my phone goes off, outage. I was there in 5 minutes, my guys are there in 20 minutes. So, never even received a phone call. I had to call dispatch to let them know we had an outage. So, once again, that program is going very well. Other than that, unless you have any questions.
Questions, Sean?
Thanks, Sean. We had disconnects today, and I did like 10 of them in maybe 5 minutes. Yeah, and it's so nice because I take them over to dispatch, and people come in and pay, and they sit there and turn them off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't get called at home anymore.
And we don't have to send somebody out for 2 hours of time and all that kind of stuff. It's a big deal.
And we've just started on our second phase of our polyshade metering, which is our three-phase commercial customers on their AMI metering. So we started replacing those right now. So pretty soon we'll have 100%. We're at 96-97%, I'd say, at this point. But pretty soon we'll be 100% implemented. So.
Great.
Thank you.
Terry. Tom.
Okay, Bill, I just don't have a Digger Garrett to go with my mom's building.
That's such a bad
joke. I reported to the mayor earlier today, we've got a lot of repairs coming down the pike. I blame Brad on a lot of it for telling me. Got two trucks that need brakes, it's all just physical maintenance. Two trucks need brakes, one's got a front end issue that needs to be fixed, all three of those. He's opting to send off the heavy truck. This is getting to the time of year when Brad really gets busy. He's got trucks for the street department to get around, and he's small this time of year. So
I want to bring up, Brad's struggling with, we don't have equipment to lift those trucks.
Yeah.
We've looked at it, it's expensive, and as the electric department, we only have a couple trucks that they can't lift. There's a lot of fire trucks, there's a lot of water trucks, street trucks, and that we need to look at coming together and figuring out how we're going to get the equipment so we don't have to ship those off. Now, I think the fire truck is going to have to go anyway because those brakes are very sophisticated. They're not a standard drum brake, but just something to think about is we may need to start thinking about how, if we can get a lift or something, get those things off the ground, we can probably pay for itself in the long run, I would say.
Well, and to support that, he's supervising, lifting some things right now by using some of the structural members of the existing building that weren't designed for that. Not to lift my fire trucks, but just even some of the smaller stuff. So he definitely needs some equipment. Anyway, so we've got a lot of repairs coming up. The problem is I don't think my budget is going to be big enough supporting it. Talking to Rosie today, I may be in trouble on that portion of the budget, just wanted to make you aware of it. My repairs have been crazy this year. And it's not anybody's fault, it's just maintenance is all coming due at once.
Okay, any questions at that? Thanks, John. A couple of things for your information. This Friday is our health fair, which kind of opportunity to talk about.
I know, I'm sorry. I thought of that after.
Health fair, right
then. Yes, this Friday is our city county health fair. So, of course, everybody is invited to come if you're available. We'll have to wear a mask except the Van Buren 10 to 2. We'll have free massages for the city employees, so if you're interested in that, give me a call and I can give you a time. And other than that, we have about 15 to 17 vendors. I mentioned the massages, flu shots, blood pressure checks. So we're excited. This is what, our sixth or seventh year that we've done this with the county. So we're a little excited about it. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you. A couple other things for your information. Next week, Penguin Point is opening on the 21st. Now, some of you are really excited about that. Also on that day at noon, the Chamber and I are partnering together to do kind of a city update thing that is going to sort of, kind of, but not really take the place of my State of the City address. So we're going to do it on Facebook, right? So we're excited about that. And I'm happy to present to the council the status of the city if you want. Obviously, you know the status of the city because you're all engaged council members, and I appreciate that. Not every city has that. We're going to kind of do maybe a little question and answer and things like that. Next Friday, I'm holding my first youth council meeting of the year virtually. So we finally were able to get the youth council and all the regulations and stuff kind of sorted together. We're still meeting virtually, but we're excited to finally get that together. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I will be out of town the final week of October. So Walt will be in charge of the meeting. I've already told my department heads they're not allowed to ask for anything while I'm gone.
She took all my
I think that then I may remember something else here in a moment. Marcia.
Nothing.
Rosie.
Thinking ahead, we wanted to see if you guys would want to postpone the December 22nd council meeting to December 29th.
I do. It's my birthday, sorry.
No. Sign me up. Tad, is the 29th okay for you? Okay. So we will officially move the city council meeting to from the 22nd of December to the 29th of December. Is that it? Well, Dan.
Oh, good luck. The last time they left, I got bombarded with a rainstorm for the 31st. Good luck.
I am flying back on the 31st, but you're right, that is true.
I have nothing.
Jim?
I have nothing.
Jenny?
I have nothing.
Chad?
Nothing.
Okay.
He speaks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll call the meeting adjourned.